Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction, Science, and More, with Francisco Fragonio Pena. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Historically, humans have taken advantage of the Earth's permanent energy sources, mainly solar and wind power, for many purposes. Navigation wouldn't be possible without sails that use the wind power to sail into a particular direction. The thousands of windmills in the Netherlands have been used to pump water out of the lowlands and back into the rivers for agriculture, or to grind grain in China and Persia over 2,000 years ago. The evolution of traditional windmills to wind turbines was not merely in technological innovation and advancements in computer and mechanical engineering, but has also sought to address the growing concern of reducing our fossil fuel dependency and energy security with a green approach. According to the Global Wind Energy Council, a record 1,155,000 jobs were created by the global wind industry on 2016. 10 million houses were powered by wind energy in Spain, and the number of wind turbines sales are expanding across the world, led by China, the US, Germany, and India, followed by France, Turkey, and the Netherlands. The wind market business is a reality. Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction, Science, and More weekly podcast. My name is Rossella Biagi, and I will be your host for today. In today's show, we will talk about how can wind turbines harness the wind force and turn it into electricity. Francisco, welcome back.
Good morning, Rossella, Radiofonica, and to all our friends around the world. Pursuing a PhD degree requires absolute commitment and responsibility, particularly when deadlines are coming up.
Tell me about it.
You're really going to enjoy this new show. I'm going to share with you in more detail how wind turbines work, the main components, their advantages and disadvantages.
Excellent. I'm listening.
Wind turbines operate on a simple principle.
I got an idea.
The energy of the wind flows through the turbine or blades, which spins a generator to create electricity. Wind is air in motion. If we go back to the atmospheric science course, wind forms when the sun hits one part of the atmosphere differently to another part. Picture a sunny day in the Mediterranean. The air temperature is higher inland compared to the sea. This causes expansion of warmer air, making less pressure when it is warm than when it is cooler. Air always moves in circles, like a wheel, moving from high pressure cold air to lower pressure.
And this movement of air is called wind, right?
Exactly. Now, there are three types of wind turbines: horizontal axis, vertical axis, and ducted wind turbines. I will talk about the most common type, the horizontal axis wind turbines. Tell me, Rossella, what are the main parts of a wind turbine?
What? I thought we were done with these questions.
It's part of the job. Come on, it's easy.
I think there are three. The blade.
Yes.
A generator and the tower.
Good guess. The wind turbine blades are not just long blades. These are designed to fully capture the kinetic energy. The kinetic energy is the energy that an object possesses due to its motion. They can be as long as 60 meters each and are made of very light and resistant materials to ease the movement. The blades are not uniform. It has many airfoil cross-sections, size and shapes, from the root to tip. This is very important. The airfoil technology helps the blade to turn when the wind moves over an airfoil. In other words, it creates a force that pushes the blade so it can achieve its normal rotation. By the way, this technology is also used in the aviation industry for airplane wings.
I understand, but you know that wind can change direction at any time, from north to south, east to west. Does a wind turbine stop working?
Will you believe me if I told you that wind turbines have brains?
No, of course not.
Well, they have, and it's called wind vane or velocity sensor. Each wind turbine has a vane on the top that indicates the wind speed and direction. Any changes in the wind's direction is sent to an electronic controller that activates the yaw mechanism to align and rotate the turbine rotation with the wind direction to guarantee a proper alignment. The blades are positioned in a tilt manner in order to obtain maximum performance and resistance.
Very interesting. If the wind speed is very light, can the turbine generate electricity?
Wind turbines can produce energy starting from about 11 kilometers per hour. However, most of the time, wind turbines rotate at a very low rate. In other words, low frequency means no electricity in the generator. To produce electricity, it is necessary to increase the turning speed, so before connecting to the generator, the speed is increased in a gearbox, which raises the speed over 100 times and transfers it to the high-speed shaft.
So, the faster it goes, the more energy it produces.
Right. However, for safety reasons, the turbine stops spinning when strong winds are above 80 to 90 km per hour. This is when the brake comes into action. Located between the gearbox and the generator, it activates automatically to prevent any damage to the turbine in extreme weather conditions. The latter is connected to a generator that converts the kinetic energy into electricity, which is conducted through cables inside the tower towards the base, where a converter transforms it to alternating current.
Engineering topics are hard to learn, but I believe we are all following you. Now it is time to go listen to my voice, 120. We will be back very soon in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More.
120. Hello, my name is Elan Kelman. I am based at University College London in the UK and the University of Agder in Norway. In London, I am in two research institutes, one on disasters and one on health. Each one runs a master's degree program. The idea is to prevent disasters and health problems through working with people, communities, governments, businesses, and the nonprofit sector. I work mainly on islands around the world, from Greenland to Fiji and from Malta to Barbados. We aim to save lives, to treat everyone with dignity and respect, and to tackle the ills which afflict our society and our planet. Climate change impacts weather and our health, which can lead to problems if we fail to act. Often, local initiatives deliver the most. Safe bike and walking lanes improve people's fitness and also reduce energy use. Diplomacy connects disasters and health. I examine disaster diplomacy, how and why disasters affect peace and conflict. Meanwhile, health diplomacy and medical diplomacy deal with epidemics such as bird flu, while eradicating diseases, successful for smallpox and coming close for polio. These are global efforts. All of this work connects local and global approaches. Each person can act, but we also need you to learn about political issues and to vote to ensure that cities, countries, and international groups act with you. We all have power to deal with health and disasters, so please join with me. You can find me on Twitter at Elan Kelman, that is ILANKELMAN, which links to my website and email. And remember, active citizens build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More. It seems to me that political agendas dictate the direction of policy to achieve healthy and resilient cities, regardless of the efforts of the population.
People can speak out, start new initiatives and create movements, but these efforts won't last long unless are supported by the government. Collaboration of both parties is essential to achieve successful results. Citizens have the right, the opportunity and the power of both to elect representatives that have the best proposals and have a commitment to improve the quality of life of the city. Just have a look at Monterrey, I'm very proud of my city, but not so much about the quality of air, which has been a trending topic over the past weeks in social media. Monterrey have the disgrace of being the most polluted city in Latin America. The city sacrificed the environment for economic development over the past years. The government has turned its back to the citizens, and now they are under pressure to make an immediate change. It should have never happened.
A clear example when politicians put environment at the very end of the agenda, sad reality. Going back to the wind turbines, can you make a quick summary or give an example of all the components?
Okay. Try to picture a pinwheel.
A what?
A pinwheel, the toy made of plastic curls that spins when blown by the wind. You usually put them in the garden.
Oh yeah! In Italy we call it girandola.
In Spanish, reilete. Anyway, we have the pinwheel. Now imagine that the pin bearing in the center is connected to a box.
Okay.
The design consists not in four, but only three blades. The blades undergo quality control checks, aerodynamic and performance analysis. A wind vane functions as a brain, redirecting the angle and position of the blades to enhance its maximum performance. The box contains a gearbox, a mechanism that increases the speed of the rotation to produce electricity. There is also a brake to limit excessive blade speed. Then we have the generator that converts the energy produced by the movement of the blades into electric energy and is transported to a transformer. The transformer raises the voltage and is sent to the substation through underground cables inside the wind farm. Here, the voltage is increased again to feed it into the power grid and transport it to customers.
Which are the areas best suited for wind farms and turbines?
Windy locations are preferred because the amount of electricity generated depends on the strength of the wind. The dimensions of wind turbines can change the visual environment in a very significant way. Therefore, wind farms are usually installed in locations with low population density, such as coastlines, plains or mountains.
So you can pretty much install wind farms in the middle of nowhere, right?
This assumption is not true. Wind farms must have access to the power grid. And last but not least, in places that currently use polluting sources for electricity generation.
What about the disadvantages?
Difficulties to transport the material and installation sometimes become a challenge. It's not the best option for landscape lovers, and the maintenance is not easy at all. One last fact, the average lifespan to generate electricity effectively goes from 20 to 25 years.
In today's show, we talked about the main characteristics of wind turbines. This is how we use the wind to light cities, schools, hospitals, or household appliances in a clean and sustainable way. Wind energy does not produce CO2 emissions or harmful pollutants, turning into an excellent energy source to decrease operational costs that could reduce customers' bills, improve environmental performance, and reduce emissions.
Next week, we'll talk about SRE story maps and its linkage with disaster risk communication. Don't forget to visit our website, waterdoc.unistrapg.it, and social media platforms in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as WaterDoc or Francisco Febrenio Peña. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Febrenio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Associations, visual arts, interview, news, your radio is Radiofonica.